So it is through the grace we attain or we get knowledge or wisdom from God. It is through our human effort we get the taste of the wisdom. That's what I understand from Christian perspective. And also, I did not know you said moving backward, frontward or being still. And in that, in the Zen meditation, they taught being present. That is grace or effort.
I think the that sense of the whole point of not moving forward, not moving back, and not standing still is not trying to define it. Which you get involved in the, because the effort is the that kind of I've got to try, I've got to do something, and to be able to. Like one of the things that I've taught over time, because especially in the Buddhist path, you know, one of the essence of the path or the essence of, you know, realization is really letting go or surrender. And in Christian tradition, you would say surrendering to God. And especially from a Buddhist perspective, there's a lot of emphasis on wisdom. And with that kind of understanding, we're always refining our wisdom, seeking wisdom, quite rightly, but also on a certain level, you know, is it really wisdom that lets go or surrenders or gives up? You know, to me, yes, you have to have wisdom, but it's also faith, and it's some in a Buddhist path. It tends to be underplayed, the quality of faith, of, you know, having a refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Of having a devotion to the path, to the training, but approaching it from a place of faith. And to me it's much more faith that surrenders, that relinquishes, that's willing to let go. Wisdom is always wanting just a little bit more information. I just got to get a little bit more knowledge. I got to get a little bit more understanding. And there is no end to that. So that this sense of balancing, and I think it was a really good topic in terms of contrasting or comparing or bringing to light effort and grace, so that we can see, well, because it's also an individual path. What do we need as an individual to balance and to harmonize with truth, to really, you know, give ourselves to truth, so that, and then that's where the effort comes of that. Just as Swamiji said, it's relinquishing those habits of mind. Yeah, and being suffering and being stuck in samsara and in the world is just a bad habit.
Thank you, Rampur. At this stage with the questions, some may be felt to be addressed directly to Luangpor, of course, but feel free also to approach subjects that can be answered by both Luangpor and Swami Atmananda, or directly address the one who would like to request the answer from. But of course, we are here to listen to the Theravada and Buddhist approach in the first place. Thank you. There is a question there.
Hari Om. I have two questions. Yesterday we was talking about a little bit about resistance, was my last question. And now I understand that for transcend the resistance, I need some effort. But sometimes the resistance is so big, so I cannot do the enough effort to do that. And I know I need to be patient. That is also something that we are talking about yesterday. But now I want to know where I can find the patience, the effort to transcend that resistance, how it looks like, how it feels like. And the other one, it's like, we was talking about have the balance between the effort and the effortless for just being. So how we can also have that balance?
I think from, say, from my perspective or from Buddhist perspective, what one pays attention to is, again, yeah, how does it feel? What's the result? Because when we put forth whatever effort we put forth or whatever we step back from, what's the result? What's it feel like? Does it bring peace? Does it bring clarity? Does it bring well-being? Or does it, because we're hardwired to prefer to be happy rather than to suffer. It's that kind of basic, and to pay attention to that, and not in a obsessed self way, but in a way of, with that a deep questioning: how do I experience freedom from suffering? How do I experience freedom from dis-ease and discontent, dissatisfaction? So and that's the motivation, but it's also the gauge that we that helps to guide us of what effort's needed. When do we need to put forth effort? When do we need to and there's no formula for that exactly. You just have to learn how to trust yourself, which can be really scary. We're always looking for experts to tell us what to do.
The question could to is basically to both of you, and it's about refuge, because the Sharanam certainly exists in Theravada Buddhism. It also exists in the Hindu tradition. And I wonder if that concept of Sharanam, of refuge, actually also holds some grace.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. That's your fundamental root or foundation of the, yeah, say, of grace or of blessings, is the taking of refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. These are the traditional forms of taking refuge. And, of course, when we take refuge, then we're giving ourselves to something other than ourselves. And that's already a blessing or a grace, and something that Swamiji just mentioned triggered a memory of talking about being willing to die, My teacher Ajahn Chah, he would greet newcomers in different ways, but one of the things that he would oftentimes do is if somebody was coming and just ask very bluntly, you know, did you come here to die? if you're put on the spot really quickly. But he had also clarified in the sense that are we, if you really want to be free of limitation and suffering, you have to be willing to die to your habits, to your preferences, to your sense of identity. And give yourself to something that is beyond. And that's, you say, from a classical or traditional Buddhist perspective, in all of the traditions, the refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha are the essence. And, you know, and it's important to recognize, yeah, there is an external expression of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. You go through all the different qualities and whatnot. But, you know, in the end, it's just the refuge in pure knowing, in pure awareness, in truth, and that, you know, giving oneself to that is where you're. Where your refuge is. Remember one time, Ajahn Chah, actually saying to Ajahn Jayasaro, and he called him by his nickname that he had for him. His lay name was Sean. And Ajahn Chah used to love playing on words, and he would call him Chon, which is spoon. So he says, Chon. Because normally when we come into any space at Ajahn Chah's monastery, the first thing we do is bow to the shrine or bow to the teacher or bow to the space. I mean, Ajahn Chah has us bowing everywhere all the time. And Ajahn Jayasaro came into the space to meet him and came and did his three bows. And Ajahn Chah said, Chon, if you really understood what having refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha is, paying respects, paying homage to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, there wouldn't be a time when you bowed, when you wouldn't burst into tears of gratitude and devotion. It was really extremely beautiful. You know, and of course we don't do that. but really reflecting on that sense of making real that refuge in pure awareness and pure knowing and release.
In the discussion regarding effort, the need for right effort or good effort, and effort leading to effortlessness. Yeah. Pardon me. A little light went on in my head about a visit pardon me, to a Krishnamurti Institute and pulling a book off the shelf and seeing a talk on effortless effort. So I'm wondering, as a Thai might say, same, same, but different. Does that solve any of my question about, well, what is right effort? Do I need effort to be effortless, or do I use Is it the other way around, and that effortlessness is a matter of effortless effort? Effort is effortless. I don't know. Okay, maybe you can make sense, Krishnamurti, for me. Either one of you. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the juxtaposition between the two, or the overlapping or overlaying of the two, is somewhere in between is the reality, and also I think a really good reflection of, again, from a Buddhist perspective, of, because when we use the English language and we define these concepts from the Buddhist teachings, we, from the Pali, so I would say right effort, the Pali is sammavayama, and the word that we translate as right is samma. But the word in terms of, you know, right, the root of the word comes from it's a musical term that was used in the time of the Buddha, so that right is not sort of like absolute in terms of right or wrong, good and bad, but right in terms of being right in tune, or being just right. And so that it's the effort that accomplishes a suitable goal. And so that sense of harmony and balance, that theme of harmony and balance, is embedded in the whole Eightfold Path of right effort.